Don't get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
Don't get the world loose, loose.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, it really doesn't get much better than this. I got a quarterback and I got an offensive tackle with us here in the studio on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The quarterback, of course, Bernie Kosar. He's with us for the full 2 hours. And joining us now for this portion of the show is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, of course, former Browns offensive tackle, who is out here too. Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine.
All right. So, Doug, this is right in your wheelhouse. We got to talk with you about this. The O-line situation, injuries occur, and, man, I mean, you get it's one thing to get hit once at right guard, but to have both guys, Sean LaValle and now Jason Pinkston, both out with those ankle injuries that are going to go into the season, puts you into a scramble. They tried to address it. They tried to make the John Moffitt acquisition from Seattle. It didn't work out because of his health issue once he got here that was discovered. So now you're back to looking at a couple of people. Garrett Gilkey, the rookie, and O'Neal Cousins is getting some looks there as well. Just give me a sense of it goes to a lot of places. Young and inexperienced people, or people who just aren't familiar playing that spot, and then two, the overall continuity, how it affects the continuity of the line itself.
Well, I think, you know, the first thing is playing guard is a lot easier than playing out on the island at tackle. So you got people on both sides. So does the defender really doesn't have the running room that he would if you were out on the island. But O'Neal Cousins brings some experience to the game. You know, he's been around the league for a while. He's an athletic guy. He's a big body. And, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do is make sure the pocket is firm up front. So, you know, that's what you like to see. Garrett Gilkey, you know, he did okay last week against Sioux. But he's still, you know, very raw. He came from Shadron State. They didn't exactly play Nebraska when he was there. So,
well, I got to chime in on here. And this is a very serious point in the offensive line, the center of the pocket, for sure. But in all due respect to one of our good friends, Robert Jackson, who's your partner and friend at Jackson Deacon, for you to say
thanks for the plug, you silver tongue devil.
For you to say
we're all
twice,
about the plugs.
For you to say three times that the tackle out on an island and how easy it is at the guard position, in respect of Robert, who was with last night, he did say he loves the way Mitchell Schwartz is playing, but that position, the cohesiveness is definitely impressive. But don't you think that the first two games, I think five or six snaps, two or three each from both teams, the Rams and last week Detroit, of that double, those two backers coming and getting double A gap blitzes, is very impressed to see how well the interior of the line with Alex Mack, kind of how stout they took on, not only knowing who to block within those blitzes, but how stout they were keeping a good pocket like that.
Well, and that gets back to, you know, what we have. You know, we have Jason Pinkston, we have LaValle, we have Greco. Now we're going to have O'Neal Cousins. But all those guys, you know, they probably don't run like Steinbach did. But when it comes to being stout in the middle and not getting people in the quarterback's face, I think that's what you want. And to get to your, you know, blitzes and your ability to think on your feet, you know, that's a key. I mean, it's because a lot of times, you know, somebody will try to trick you and show you something you haven't seen before. But if you can think on your feet and realize what's going on, that helps. And I think, you know, we've got a very academic offensive line.
Yeah. Talk about the coaching, though. How does this affect what George Warhop and Mike Sullivan have to do as coaches? Do they have to do different things? Because, again, you're not only prepping these guys to get you through a preseason game Saturday night, but you're also going to get them, likely both of them, ready to play against Miami on September 8th.
No, I think, you know, you just put them out there and let them play. And obviously, you know, it gets down to, I've always said, you never see guys get cut because they can't run block. It's because they can't pass block. And, you know, I think, you know, Bernie took exception to the fact that Robert.
and Robert will take exception. I'm defending him.
But, I mean, you know, it's one of those, you know, situations where, you know, you got to get the chemistry. And the only way you're going to get the chemistry is let guys play together. And you get a feel. I can remember one year I went through three or four guards, and each one was different. You know, one guy wants to jump them. One guy wants to set soft. One guy, you know, is quick, one guy is slow. And it, you just make the adjustment. And I think that's, you know, one of the benefits of having a Alex Mack in the middle, because you know you're going to get consistency there. And, you know, Mitchell Schwartz last year showed that the game wasn't too big for him, did a great job as a rookie.
Right.
Well, again, Schwartz, Robert was talking about how great he's playing, but Alex Mack, in terms of probably the cerebral part and the physical part, he's definitely showed that he's one of the top centers in the league, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the thing, you know, goes beyond that is if you ever watch, Alex Mack is down the field. You know, if there's a running play, he's 10, 15 yards down the field. And, you know, you say, okay, you know, what's it all about? Well, that's where you get your big plays. You know, when you get your lineman down there, you know, clipping one of those defensive backs, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, that 5-yard run turns into a 10 or 15-yard run.
Did you just say that they run downfield and they – on purpose, clip them?
No. Run over, okay.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network is joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily.
I'm just a little sensitive here. The way things go, the way I was called out on some terminology, I'm just trying to keep things right, make sure that it was known that Deacon said that.
Okay, Bernie the Butcher.
Bernie Kosar, of course, with us here. And again, Doug Deacon, I love it. So you got the quarterback and the old lineman living in these opposite worlds. Completely.
You know, they let me go where I left right the year before Bernie came because they knew I couldn't block long enough to get him in his set.
No, because you just said you were on an island.
Yeah, and he's wearing, speaking of island, he's got his Tommy Bahama shirt on, too, so that's appropriate. Doug's been on an island his entire life, actually, enjoying it. You
it
know,
is
a, or a golf course.
It is interesting for the listeners out there in the sad state here that of the three of us here, I'm the most properly dressed.
Truthfully, you are. Doug and I are a little more casual. You're looking corporate, but you were opening a restaurant, or touting a restaurant opening. Big time. All right. I want to ask this. I'll start with Bernie, though, on this one, because, you know, it's about trust. And as a quarterback, so now put ourselves in the head of Brandon Whedon, the trust that he's got to have, especially on a night, Saturday night, when you're playing into the third quarter, it's a different thing. If you know you're only going out there for a couple of series or into the second quarter, okay, but this is a full half plus at least maybe a series into the second half. You got to trust what's in front of you. How does the quarterback deal with the fact that, as Doug was saying, you know, each lineman has a different tendency, and one mess up in that tendency can certainly open the door to bad things for the QB.
Well, I know this is easier said than done, but for quarterbacks who want to be successful, who are successful, the element of trust is automatically there, and especially this early in the season. There's no way I think that'll even be entering his mind as he's preparing for the game, maybe a little, but as it gets to game time and actually playing the game, one have to just assume and know that the line is going to take care of what the line's supposed to do. And if you start worrying and start thinking about maybe this goes wrong, is this going to go right, those little demons in your head definitely impede success and being productive on the field. So first and foremost, in the actual execution, that won't cross his mind during the game. And that's why football is so much we're victims or beneficiaries of the guys around us. And the beauty of a unit and 11 guys playing in cohesiveness and trusting that the guy next to you is going to do it is something that, as Deke knows, and even though we're joking around a lot, we all believe that the guy next to us is going to do his job, and you just prepare to do your job.
Doug, as we look at the rest of this game and other parts of this team where you've got some injuries that have crept in now in that linebacking core with Jabal Sheard being bothered by a knee issue, Barkevious Mingo still out with the bruised lung, and that was, you know, one of those just crazy things that happens to a player. There's still a challenge. In fact, there is a challenge for Rob Chudzinski to kind of get some level of continuity just throughout the team, not just the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that a lot of these guys would be playing if it was a regular season game, Sheard being one. But, you know, you also have to look at the depth of your football team. And, you know, this is 16 games is a long season. And you're going to get your nicks, but – you know, by having guys step up and play, you know, right now, then all of a sudden you're going to build the depth of your football team so that, you know, if it happens during the season, then you're not caught shorthanded. You're not looking at the waiver wire. You can say next man up. You know, obviously the guard position, they thought it merited maybe getting somebody else when he went out and tried to get Moffitt, who, you know, didn't pass the physical. But, you know, getting back to what Bernie said, you know, the offensive line has to believe in the quarterback, and the quarterback has to believe in the offensive line. And, you know, you can call it trust, but it's just confidence. And, you know, it's that chemistry factor that can take a, you know, good team and make it a great team if you've got that. And everybody, you know, believes in one another. You know, I go back to the Cardiac Kids. You know, that was a team that probably overachieved, but it overachieved because, you know, everybody played together. The teams that Bernie played on, you know, there was always somebody else that stepped up and made a play, you know, each and every week. And if you've got that, you know, formula, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, you can overachieve. I mean, you look at the Colts. I mean, last year what they did, that was, to me, classic overachievement. And, you know, you look at their numbers, you say, whoa, how'd they do it? Well, you know, the kid playing quarterback had seven fourth quarter overtime drives to win games. The defense really didn't play well against the run, but they did well enough that, you know, they got themselves in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, and that's such a great point, too, about the model of what that Colts team was last year. You almost can see a scenario where the Browns, I don't know that it would translate to double-digit wins as the Colts had in a playoff appearance, but you could almost see that there's a potential here, and you use the term overachievement, that whatever level of achievement it would take this Browns team to start showing that it turns the corner. This particular team might have that. I mean, if with the big if being health or whatever, but are we sensing, is that kind of optimism after two preseason?
Well, Vic, just then, Deke, on your way up here in the first segment, one of the main points of the first segment was talking about that confidence, that esteem, that positive feeling, that belief in yourself and the guys around you. And as you were saying it, I was thinking of the Cardiac Kids year. You guys lost three quarters into a lot of games. You were losing a game halfway through the fourth quarter. A lot of times you're losing, but that belief and confidence that you just expect to win, you expect to do things, and you do it one or two times, it's almost like that domino or that snowball. It starts happening, and it starts rolling, and you believe in yourself that good things are going to happen. The Colts and with Andrew Luck last year, the same type of scenario started. I mean, if you look at just the stats of the Colts last year, you would say no way did that football team have double-digit wins. But they got on a roll and a belief at the end of the game that they were going to somehow, some way make a play. And again, that's where, to your point, Vic, if any team in the last, say, decade or two, you've always seen a team or two come out of nowhere each year. And that tends to be the teams that get on that roll, that get that confidence, that get that good feelings going. And that's why it's so imperative, I think, that the stuff we were talking about again in the first segment about that Norv Turner, Coach Chudd relationship with Brandon Whedon, he's developing a sense of confidence and respect and trust amongst that quarterback room that's coming into Brandon's confidence. He's able to make better plays, I really believe, when he has that better self-esteem, that better confidence.
Yeah, I mean, any player, I mean, any position, if you've got the confidence, you can play at a faster speed and a smarter speed. And I think, you know, that's something we've seen. And, you know, it's ironic that, you know, Indianapolis, who, you know, with Bruce Arians were more vertical last year, now are going a little bit more West Coast with Pep Hamilton, their coordinator who was with Luck at Stanford. Yeah. So, you know, it's the roles have reversed in some ways. You know, we're going to an offense that really, I think, fits Brandon, where, you know, in Indianapolis is going to one that Luck was familiar with in college. Because his numbers, I mean, what his percentage was like 50-some percent, 54% last year.
And he turned it over quite. I mean, because they were challenging a lot downfield. So this is really a safer offense for him.
Well, yeah, because he had like 28 in between. I think he had 20 or 17 interceptions and another six or seven fumbles. So he did turn the ball over quite a bit.
What are you looking for, Doug, Saturday night from this Browns team? What do you want to see or need to see just based on kind of the progression of the third game?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing you want to see the consistency. And, you know, so far we've had a pretty good track record in our first two games. You know, the offense has put the ball in the end zone when they've had it. You know, Brandon has the one thing, you know, we've not turned the ball over in the preseason. And I think that's a good indication of, you know, you're going to have some success if you can play like that. And defensively, you know, the ability to take it to the other team. You know, they had some problems in their offensive line last year, so that, you know, they went out and got a couple guys in free agency. So, you know, their chemistry isn't going to be as good as ours on the offensive line because, you know, we've got four out of five back. They've got a couple new people in there. You know, and I think that, you know, the one thing that we're all wondering about, where's our kicking game going to be? Because, we played a lot of close games last year, and you've got to have a consistent kicking game. And, you know, that's one of the things I think that, you know, we just can't take for granted anymore.
Byrne, that's up in the air. I mean, there's no – I would say Rob Jedzinski will be the first to say it. He probably, as we sit here right now, the three of us, Coach Jedzinski probably doesn't have that guy figured out yet.
Well, I don't
or those guys figured out.
First,
kicker and punter.
I don't even think you realize what a good pun that was by saying it's literally up in the air in
like
the kicking
that?
Game. Yes, nice. I did like that.
Thanks, buddy.
But the kicking game, there's not only in our team, it's amazing the NFL how close so many of the games get down to, and whether it's a field goal or the punt, you know, angled the right way, or when you got a punt at the 50-yard line, you know, do you just kick it in the end zone, or could you kick it out inside, you know, the 5-yard line? Those type of little plays that, you know, we saw the ramifications last year of a very inconsistent to not very good punting game and how that affects things. And we also, on the positive side, saw having a Phil Dawson and kicking the ball, making field goals north of 50 yards, being consistent with that. And we've been a little spoiled probably from the field goal side of it, having Phil since the team's come back. So I definitely understand and concur with it, both you guys, because kicking field goals in the summer in practice, that's one thing. After standing around for 3.5 hours on a Sunday afternoon at like 4:20 in the afternoon, and you got to make that one in the fourth quarter or overtime, is a whole other thing. And every year there's a couple games plus or minus by making it or not making it.
Well, I'd say 3 or 4 games you're going to come down to it. I mean, I think all our games last year, you know, there was opportunities that, you know, fortunately, right, Phil Dawson came through.
But I think the ultimate investment or whatever, the idea that they didn't keep Dawson speaks to a bigger thought that you want this offense to not rely as much on that kicker and to be so productive that you can overcome it. I know you can still have close games that are high scoring. I'm getting that. But I'm thinking that's where this is coming down to, is that, you know, what is the difference with or without if you're building the kind of team that you want to build with this kind of offense?
Well, yeah, but you still want that security blanket of knowing when you put that guy out there that he's going to kick.
Right, you want reliability.
And that's not to say these guys can't. But,
right.
But we had the test record.
Yeah.
So that's why when you ask, you know, what are you really interested in? I'm really interested to see, you know the consistency in this that position.
Yeah, and Vic, you're asking Deke over there now. You're exactly right. You do want to score touchdowns, but remember, Deke's second other business is the insurance business. So you want to have a hedge against if you don't score and if you need it. And
tell the truth, how much did you even care about the kicker when you play?
As long as he made the kick.
But I mean, you were all about let's score. You wanted them to just kick extra points.
You want to. You really do. But you know what? You have to also play it smart. You know, last week Brandon did a nice thing. You know, typically it was like about the 35-yard line, 30-yard line, and it was 3rd and 9 or 10. And typically he threw a ball underneath for that didn't really have a chance to get the first down. Now, typically fans, myself in particular, would say, come on, you got to push it up the field. You got to give yourself a chance to make that first down. Mm. But there's also certain situations where you got to really be smart. And you can't take a sack there. You have to get a positive play. And for him to just make a little play to make it in field goal range and allow yourself the option there to kick a field goal instead of getting sacked and have to take a punt, sometimes you have to play those percentages like that.
Doug, great stuff. Thank you for taking the time to join us, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
And keep selling that insurance.
And thanks for the directions for the travel.
I was going to say, so when we were in break, Doug's giving Bernie all the directions to get over to the area that we have to go to at the airport so that Bernie can make the charter on time tomorrow.
And I got some meat tenderizer for that silver tongue devil, too. First tongue.
Nice. All right, good stuff. And again, we'll talk to you again next week. He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. Bernie Kosar and I continuing here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're going to hear from Tom Withers from the Associated Press at about 2:15. You're going to hear from Nathan Zagura, the regular co-host on the show, at 2:30. He'll check in by phone. He's down in Florida doing some CBS fantasy stuff. And what else? Well, your calls, too. Let's hear from you. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, and tweet us at Browns_Daily. Vic Carucci, Bernie Kosar, CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.